Mark your Bible. We want to look at several different passages tonight from Daniel and Luke and Hebrews. And I asked Pastor Bill, I said, what do you want me to speak on? And he said something to do with prayer. And I said, okay. So I guess that's an appropriate thing since we're having a prayer meeting. And so if you turn with me to Daniel chapter 6, we'll start there. And look at a few verses and talk a little bit about Daniel. And, you know, we as Christians have an awesome, here in the United States, opportunity to be able to pray and worship like we want most of the time. But maybe we don't have that opportunity as much as we should. And I want to focus tonight on how serious we take our prayer time, our prayer life, and how serious some of these folks did. And everybody knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Okay, that's what we're going to look at a little bit tonight. And Daniel, I love to study Daniel. Daniel was taken from his home when he was about maybe 14, 15, 16 years of age. And he rose to a very high leadership role there in Babylon. And then, of course, Babylon was overthrown by the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire. And he rose up again. So he's very prominent. And he's probably here in this chapter about 86, maybe 88 years of age, they speculate. So he has been around for a while. When the Jews were allowed to go back home, Daniel did not go back home. He did not go back to Jerusalem. He stayed in Babylon. And so he's rose to power. And if we look here at some scripture, I want us to start there about verse 10. Now Daniel, let me say something. Daniel has rose to power. And he's kind of, him and King Darius have become friends. If you read the whole chapter, you'll kind of see that. And so he's very prominent. But we got this group of guys, these are satraps and some other officials, they don't like him. And they don't like Daniel at all. For one thing, he's Jewish, and they're not. And Daniel has to stand his ground. And Daniel, I think about him, I think about this situation, kind of like what we see going on in some parts of our country with being able to pray at baseball games or football games or basketball games, whatever kind of game you want to go to. They don't want people kneeling on the football fields or whatever, or praying in the locker rooms. And, you know, people have, you know, and people go to court, take them to court. Schools have been taken to court. City councils have been taken to court. So Daniel, I think he's an example here. And how do we do that? If you happen to have that, have had that opportunity to serve, and you know, we didn't. I was talking with somebody just the other day, and we were talking about the fact that when I was growing up, we had weekday religious education in our class schools for once a week, and we prayed every morning before class. We said the Pledge of Allegiance, and we read something from the Scripture. They don't do that now. They don't do that unless you're homeschooling or you are in a private school. So let's kind of look. Daniel has rose to power here. He's very prominent. And verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew..." Now let me back up a minute before I read that. Let me back up. I'm jumping ahead of myself. These guys that don't like Daniel, they go to the king and say, "Look, we want to set up a rule that if anybody prays to any other gods, but any other god but you," meaning King Darius, it's against the law, basically. And once he signed, King Darius, if you go back and read that law, he could not change it. That was the Medo-Persian way. Once he signed it into law, it could not be changed. And so what they did, they set Daniel up. They knew Daniel would go and pray. And so they set him up and they went to the king and he passed the law and they signed it. And it may have been one of these laws that only lasted for a short period of time. But once the king Darius had signed it, it could not be changed. So at this point, Daniel is under this decree that if he goes and prays to any other god but their god, the king of or Darius, the king there, that he's subject to death. And or you know, in our case, sometimes persecution. So verse 10 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. He went home, went back to his place, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. This is something Daniel had done ever since he left home, whether he was 14 or 15 or 16. He'd done this every day. And he never forgot where he came from. And I love, there's so much here in the book of Daniel. Verse 11, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persian, whose does not alter. So, they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, in other words, they didn't like him. They pointed him out, that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard to you, for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persian that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. And I love this next quote. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. I think that's a pretty profound statement for the king there. He knew he had to follow his own law, but Daniel had to go to the lion's den. And that's where he ended up. And if you know the story, well, I'm not going to go into all of that. How serious was Daniel about his prayer life?
Very serious.
Very serious. How do we look at Daniel and see how we look at what's going on around our country, and when it goes to the Supreme Court, whatever, they want to stop prayer and everything? How does that make us feel?
Not good.
Affects us. Do we stop? Would we stop? Do we stand up enough? Daniel prayed three times a day. Ever since probably he was very, very young, when he was carried off to Babylon, he never changed, he never faltered. He knew when the decree was signed that he was going to end up going to the lion's den. When we were in Britain, we got to go to the British Museum, and there is things that they have found from Babylon and from that part of the world that show in stone where they had lions in captivity and so forth and so on. So that's how they're recording, and they were proud of that. So as we look at Daniel and see how he stood up for what he believed and for God, I hope that we can look at that as, you know, a way that we should always stand up. And sometimes, and I thought about this today and yesterday, and as I was looking at this, why, you know, people stand up for what they believe and they end up in court, but they don't fade. A good example is the man there in Colorado or Oregon, I think one of each, that refused to make cakes for people. Because it wasn't a traditional marriage, and it ended up going to the Supreme Court. And so, but Daniel is a good example of it doesn't make any difference how tough it became in his life to stand up and pray for what he believed. We need to do the same thing each and every day. And as we look at what's going on around our country, that we can let Daniel be our example. And the statement that the king there, Darius, made, I think he knew that Daniel would not be eaten by the lions, and He knew. And that's kind of profound. Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you. Our God, who we pray to, here's what we have to say. Each and every prayer. So, if you would, turn with me to Luke 18. And let's look at a couple other examples there. And I have about 20 minutes here. So, Luke 18 is a little different. We're going to look at a couple different examples here. But Daniel was persistent in his prayer life. He was serious. And as we look here in chapter 18 of Luke, we'll start at verses 1 through 5 there. These are parables. Now, parables, there's no names mentioned, so they're stories. They were not, how you want to say, models. Or I always heard a parable was an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And I've heard that in the past. And so these parables, as he speaks out here, we're going to see a woman here. And it describes this woman and her situation. And the Lord's talking to her. And he said, now Jesus is telling this story. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart. My example was Daniel. He didn't lose heart. He stuck to what he believed, continued daily in what he believed. And so Jesus is using, he doesn't mention Daniel, but he tells this story. It says, don't lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest her continual coming she weary me. This woman was persistent. What does he mean here? This in this parable, about using this woman as an example in a, if you want to say, a political background. Did she quit?
No.
Did she quit?
Would not.
How about us? Do we quit? Yeah. If we're praying for something or somebody or some situation and we don't feel like things are happening, do we quit?
No, we shouldn't.
Shouldn't.
No.
We shouldn't?
No.
We shouldn't. And I think it's a good example. Back up to Daniel. He didn't quit. He didn't take a threat of his life to quit. He hung in there. She don't quit. And so she hangs in there with her quest to get the justice that she feels like she deserves. What about when we pray? Should we keep praying to feel like we should get what, maybe not what we really deserve, but what we feel like we need an answer for, or a situation dealt with, or however you want to add to that? Should we continuously be persistent?
Yes.
Every day?
Yes. Yeah. Or perseverance.
Who said that? What'd you say?
Thank you.
Yep. We have. I'm guilty. I have a tendency to say, you know, I pray for a while and it doesn't seem to be happening. It's not working out. I put it on the back pages.
Maybe you should, because God's telling you to wait.
Say that again.
I said maybe you should, because God's probably telling you to wait. It's not the right time to have that answer.
Okay. Not the right time. Doesn't mean you can't bring it back up, though, can you?
That's right. He wants to hear from you every single day. He loves that. He loves that. I mean, you just talked about it right here.
Yep. How many of you, when you were little, prayed, God, if you just give me that bicycle, I'll do anything you want me to do?
Sure.
How many of us guys prayed for some gal, thought that was the one, and it wasn't. And we didn't understand why it wasn't answered till you seen her next at 30-year class reunion. You think, thank you, Lord, for not doing that.
And vice versa.
Or gals, vice versa, thought this was the man, and you prayed for that man, and 30 years later, you see him at class reunion and say, thank you, Lord, that that didn't happen. You see, God knows we may be persistent, and but I think we need to, you know, there's things we do need to pray persistently about. This lady didn't quit. She hung in there. She stayed focused. And Jesus used this parable here to keep us focused. And I said, should we pray boldly and persistent for God to answer our prayers? Yeah, I think we should. I think we should. He may not always answer our prayers the way we want. We may not. In our prayers, it doesn't get answered, but we shouldn't quit.
When do we quit?
When do we quit?
Well, about the thing that there is no answer. You just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going. When he might have already answered it and you haven't been looking at what he gave you.
But if we keep going, if we keep looking at him and keep going, we have a dialogue. And so sooner or later, we're going to hear him versus if we just quit and go like that and we don't look at his face. So, you know, sooner or later, if this is like the wrong direction, he can put us in the right direction. But we'll never get in the right direction if we just say, and then look the other way. You know, I mean, it's like it's worth me being a mess in front of him and making a mistake over and over.
How many of you in here have prayed for something and you knew when it was time to quit, that it was answered, but maybe not in your way, and that happens.
But it's not that you quit praying for that because you found it. You still want to give thanks to him, so you're still praying to him for thanks.
That's right.
For answering that prayer. So you're not forgetting it.
Right. Good.
Yeah. Realize that you've already got the answer.
Right.
It just never stops. I get I don't know how to be choosing in my prayer. I have a list this long. If I pray for all of that, I'm not persistent on one or two things.
Can be.
No. So I think you have to be wise in what you're praying for.
I heard this one time, and this something maybe that would help you. You said you had a prayer list this long.
Or longer.
And you have, okay, and my challenge is to each and every one of you folks in here, do you have a devotional time each day? Don't answer that question, but you should have a devotional time each and every day and a prayer time each and every day, whether it's in the morning or in the evening or whatever, or riding your lawnmower or whatever you're doing. But it's nothing wrong with taking a list and dividing it up each and every day. You know, because then Monday you can focus on these prayers, Tuesday these prayers, whatever. And so if you got a list this long, I think you're just talking. You're not, how do I want to say, not praying. You're not concentrating. You're not putting your emotions into that. You're not putting your heart into that. So you have to come to your own way of praying that you can pray consistently for what you want to pray.
Randy, the God that I worship, in my mind, he already knows your thoughts. All you got to do is think it in the form of a prayer. He knows it. He can handle, do you think about the whole world and the millions and millions and millions of prayers going up every day, but he can handle it.
Oh, he can handle it.
He breathed the word, spoke the word. And this whole world and everything in it was created.
True.
And a God that powerful can do anything. He can handle thoughts.
Yep.
It don't have to be verbally spoken. If you just live the life and take it with you where you go, he will and can handle it.
And that's a good point. Because some people, let me use this as an example. I had a really good friend, and he taught me a lot. He said, you know, some people don't pray because they feel like they can't pray eloquently enough and long enough. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to have a prayer that's 14 minutes long. You don't. Sometimes the shortest prayers get the most direct attention. So you think about that.
Well, there's a lesson somewhere in here that I've read before that says that he won't even hear it if you're standing and talking like that.
Well, we're going to look at that. I think we're going to look at that next. Let's look at 18:9 and through 14. Jesus still in the same, still teaching a parable. Y'all have heard this. Pastor Bill talked about this just recently. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray. Y'all have heard this many times. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. But the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. So undoubtedly they walked in together, pretty close together. He seen him come. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, now he's standing far off. Jesus doesn't stop telling the story. And the tax collector standing afar off would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So here's this guy. Here's one guy, and I got some things wrote down here. I got to watch my time here. Can we be like both of these fellas at times?
Absolutely.
Huh?
Sure we can.
Sure we can.
We do.
And we do. That's right. We can be like the man that's got his nose up in the air, or we can be like the guy that's very humble. And we can do that. And they both prayed boldly, right? That's what Jesus said. They both prayed boldly. They both thought their prayers were significant and what they were praying for. And sometimes I think that we think sometimes we're praying for something it's not very significant, but maybe it is. One's pride got in the way. That's what happened. When you're prideful about anything in your life, I wonder sometimes if God really hears what we're praying. Pride can cause a lot of problems. And that's what happened here. The other trusted God for his salvation and not his own self-righteousness. And that's what, you know, this religious guy, and it goes back to what I said a minute ago. You don't have to be one of these people that pray 14 minutes. You don't have to be somebody that's got to use every word correctly. You just have to know that when you're praying, it's coming from the heart. Talk like you're talking to your wife, because you should be talking to your wife respectfully. And ladies, you should be talking the same way. You talk like you want to be talked to, because that's what your Father hears you as you're praying. Daniel was a real person. And Daniel was humble. Daniel wasn't prideful. And I go back to Daniel because I think he sets an example for us in his whole book. You know, we really need to be like Daniel. We really do. And so as we talked about this tonight, think about how you know, when you go in your prayer closet or when you're wherever you're praying at, and you can pray without opening your lips. We know that. We know that because God knows our thoughts. If He didn't know our thoughts, then we would be in trouble. So that's a way of praying. But He also likes to hear from us. I have had people tell me, I don't come to a prayer meeting, or I don't want to pray. In my Sunday school class, I don't ask anybody to pray unless I know they're comfortable with it. And I have people tell me, I don't want to do that. Well, I respect that. And here's what I tell some folks sometimes. How many of you, and don't answer this, when you pray by thoughts or by whispering? If you start praying out loud and hear yourself talking, and wherever you're at, whether it's a short prayer or a long prayer, the more you hear yourself talking, the more comfortable it is for you to talk around others. And so if you're not doing that, try that. Yeah. Come here, Nancy.
I just read this earlier today.
Now, I'm going to come back here because I can hear you. Don't talk about that
anymore.
that we're not so sweet on it, we're not so, that we're just trying to keep quiet, private room and shut the door, and not babble and not go on.
Okay.
But be direct.
Right. Matthew 6:5 says you're not to babble, go privately in a room. How many of you can think about this? I'm going to bed, I'm going to sleep, but I'm going to pray before I go to sleep, but you fall asleep. Is that babbling? Probably. God heard you, but think about that. You know, privately, it's nothing wrong. Praying privately, and don't babble. Don't rattle on like I can do sometimes. But be serious and just open up.
And Randy, if it's coming from the heart, and what better thing could you do to pray right before you fall asleep? The last thought in your mind is the Holy God.
Yeah, and that's you should. And I have thought falling asleep praying. I have.
Sometimes, like on Wednesday nights, I hear so many people that have prayers, and it's like I can't go to sleep. These people just keep running through my mind.
Yep. That's why I think it's good that if you start a prayer list and put in your devotional book or your Bible or whatever you're reading every day and say, look, I'm going to pray for these folks today or this situation today or whatever, you know, have that in where you can see it. Now, if you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4, I want to say one more thing and I'll wrap this up because it is 7 o'clock. Hebrews 4, 14 and 16. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There's no difference. You know, I say, he said, the writer here of Hebrews says, come boldly. That's what we should do. Whether it's wherever that, however that fits into your life. And then there's no difference between trusting God for salvation and trusting Him for answers to prayer. In both cases, we are dependent on Christ's righteousness alone. No, whether we're in our prayer life or whether it's salvation, it's all got to do with His righteousness and us seeking Him each and every day in our prayer life, in our walk and talk and the way we act and how we can come very, very boldly to Him each and every day. And that doesn't mean you have to scream. It doesn't mean you have to scream. You know, some... Yes, Sheila?
You finish what you're saying first.
Well, what I was going to say is, I've heard people that's, you know, they'll open up with all these very, very fancy words to start their prayer. And you've heard them. Some of you have heard these folks that do that. And sometimes I think when they do that, they are focusing on what they want people to hear them say. They're not talking to God when they get that way. And you know, and you can see them, you can pick it out. And so for us to come boldly doesn't mean we have to scream. We have to come with a heart that's wide open to Him, for our righteousness and our salvation, but He will hear us if we come boldly to Him. Not screaming, boldly. And Daniel was bold in what he did. Think about Daniel. 3 times that day he went back up in his room and prayed towards Jerusalem. He did that. He did that every day of his life. And he didn't stop. And I think he's such a good example. We, regardless of what we do, we still can come boldly to the Lord in our prayer life and in our walk.
Okay. Daniel, we're talking about football games to start with. I want this to be a Christian nation so bad. I love praying before sporting events. I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay. But when Daniel... He wasn't in public. He went to his room. That was a setup.
Mm-hmm.
Because you and me both know
sometimes it could be very dangerous to pray in public.
It could be.
And what sometimes you shouldn't be so bold. You have to pray about, like in other countries, and like America's getting meaner and meaner. I mean, I love praying at things. Mm-hmm. And because I love for people that don't know the Lord to get to hear it. And I just love His Spirit to be around. But if it's going to cause dissension that the Lord does not want, is it not better to just pray silently and let Him do the work?
Well, Daniel was in his room. His room was wide open. They could see him, so they knew he was there.
But he wasn't in my opinion, the courts or nothing.
In my opinion, here's something that this is me personally think. I think this. If you want to pray, say for instance you're in any restaurant in this town, anywhere, and you have a waiter or waitress waiting on you, you could say, hey, what's going on in your life? We're getting ready to have lunch. Can we pray for you? You can do that. Mm-hmm. They can't stop you. They may ask you to leave, but they can't stop you. Now, in workplaces, they don't particularly want you praying. Doesn't mean you can't. Don't pray on company time with an individual. You know what I'm saying? Don't pull somebody aside when you're running a machine or whatever you're doing for a living and say, well, you're on a man's time clock. Come on, let's sit down here and pray. Don't do that. You do it on lunchtime or break time. Don't be stealing time from your employer. And so I think, in my personal opinion, if anybody wants to pray anywhere, pray. That's what we're called to do. And you don't have to scream out. You can pray silently with somebody where they can just hear you if you're praying together. Can you not do that? You know, that's between you and that individual. Especially if that individual say, hey, Sheila, will you pray with me? What are you going to do? No, I don't want to do that. Somebody might see us. No, you pray with that person.
That's right.
They don't like, if somebody sees you, as long as you're not on company time. Got that? Not on company time or work time. So, yeah, pray with them. Pray with them. I think that's what's happened to America.
I agree.
That's exactly what's happened to America. We got to wrap this up because it's 10 minutes after 7. So we'll break out in our prayer groups. If you're deacons here tonight, I'm sorry I went a little longer than I anticipated. If you're deacons here tonight, y'all know where you've been going. And Nikki, are you and Jerry going to take two different ladies' groups, or y'all going to have one?
Okay.
Then I'll be up here. And thank y'all for coming.
They gave her
the new bed. The doors were unlocked over here if you want to park in this parking lot tonight, because I don't know where to unlock them.
She's still trying to find a balance between the bed and the function.